Welcome to Thousand Hills. We'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you enjoy this message, and we hope that it speaks blessings in your life.
For the last few weeks, we've been looking at how to ride double. And you say, what does that mean? Well, that means how to do relationships right. If you're in a relationship, there's usually two of you, right? So that means you're riding double, okay? And so we looked at this, and we've had the pleasure, and it is a pleasure to be able to share with you God's principles for dating, sex, and marriage. You know why? Because God created them. Here's what God wants. Everything God creates, He creates to succeed. He didn't create anything to fail. And so He created marriage, He created sex, He created dating, all of those things. And guess what? He wants them to succeed in your life. Amen? That's a good thing. And so here's the thing. We've learned a few things about riding double and what that means in God's, you know, design. And one of those things was this. We have to stop conforming to the ways of the world, right? What TV says, what the movies say, what all the magazines say. We have to stop conforming to the way of the world and allow God to transform our minds and our hearts so that we can do His will for marriage, relationships, sex, and dating. You remember this? We looked at this a few weeks ago. The first thing that we learned when we desire to transform our minds is this. Riding double is better when you're experienced at riding individually. Remember this? Riding double is better when you're experienced at riding individually. In other words, if you will ride for Christ individually as a single person, guess what? You're going to be more successful at riding double when you get married. Are you with me? So we looked at that. And then the second thing that we learned was riding double is a workout. It's a workout. How many of you guys have ever ridden double on a horse with someone else and they're holding on to you and about to jerk you off the horse? Anybody with me? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. And so you understand how it's hard work. I mean, they're pulling on you and tugging on you and you're about to fall off and they're about to fall off. It's the same way in marriage. It's hard work. A lot of people need to hear this because they get into marriage and they go, oh, she's going to satisfy every need that I have. Oh, she's going to read my mind. She's going to want to go hunting every day and ride horses and be outside and build fence. No, that's not true. It's hard work. You have to learn to change. If you got some things that you say, I mean, again, my wife and I are two totally different people. She's sweet and compassionate. I'm rough and not compassionate. And so I had to figure out that she doesn't want to wrestle. She wants me to hold her instead of sticking her in a figure four. So I had to learn that. So I had to change. But guess what? It takes work. I had to give. She had to give. We had to take. Both of us had to take. You got to forgive. You got to change. But here's the awesome part. When you work at it, all the investment is worth it. It pays off every time. But it takes work. The third thing that we've learned is riding double is an honor and a blessing. Here's the truth. A lot of people are looking at relationships today, and guess what? They're hurt. They are hurt. I mean, people have done things God's way. They've done things the way the world says to do them. And because of that, they leave brokenhearted. They leave with shame. They have, you know, doubt. They have all this brokenness inside of them. But guess what? Since the beginning of creation, God created relationships. And like I said, He wants them to succeed. Therefore, guess what? It is an honor and a blessing to be able to ride double. It is. It's an honor and a blessing, and it's very good. And so we're going to talk about relationships today.
And last week, how many of you guys were here last week to hear Chance and Shanna? Yeah, good crowd. If you missed out last week, you did miss out. But the good news is you can check it out on thousandhillsranch.church and listen to Chance and Shanna Means. They came from New Mexico, and they were just a beautiful, awesome couple that shared their story of love and redemption and how they were, you know, started their relationship off maybe doing things the world's way. You know, they were having sex outside of marriage. They were living together and doing just kind of what they thought, you know, was how you did relationships. And then God, through his love and his, you know, mercy, got a hold of them and showed them, hey, I've got a better way and a better plan for your life if you'll follow me in this. And so they, you know, made some radical changes. They, you know, not only stopped having sex outside of marriage, but they actually moved out into different apartments or whatever. And it was just awesome to hear how God made their relationship new, how he just blessed them and just really did an awesome thing in their life. And so out of that obedience, they were blessed beyond measure. So, you know, the fact is, and we're all proof that none of us are perfect. None of us can do relationships perfectly. When you take two imperfect people, like all of us are, and we enter into a union, you have an imperfect marriage. And so that's just a fact. Bo and I aren't perfect. Chance and Shannon weren't perfect. We all have made mistakes, and we're going to continue to make mistakes. But praise God that with his, you know, love and through his love, we can change. And so today we want to look at, you know, continue our look at relationships and God's design for this idea of us riding double in life. And one of the values that we value here at Thousand Hills Ranch Church is the next generation. So we value, you know, our kids, we value teenagers, we value those that are going to come, you know, after us and be the church. And we want to help, you know, prepare and encourage them and to grow them to be lovers of Jesus. And like Chance said last week, he said, you know, no one really kind of taught them how to do relationships. So they just kind of look to the world on how to do those things. And if the truth is, if we're not teaching our kids, if we're not teaching our teenagers how to do relationships right, then they're going to learn it from all the wrong places, from school, from other kids at school, from the world, from TV, from movies or whatever. And so it's our responsibility, and we need to take that responsibility seriously. And so today we want to focus in on how riding single successfully sets you up for riding double successfully. So this idea of how, when you're single, how to do that successfully and how that's going to set you up for more success when you do begin to ride double. And a disclaimer is, we know that not everyone gets married. I mean, that's just, you know, a given. Some are blessed to be single for their whole lives. But the majority of the world is looking for love and looking for relationships.
Yeah. How many single people are here today? Raise your hand if you're single. Come on now. Even if you're an adult, raise your hand. Raise them high. Let's look. Yeah, lots of single people. Listen, you're in for a treat today. Because here's the truth. God has a message for you. Mm-hmm. And he wants to speak to your life today. And he's gonna show you some things through his word today that is going to change your life, not only for today, but forever. And so I want you to listen today. Here's the thing. Riding single successfully, listen, doesn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. You have to prepare for it. You have to be prepared for it. So we want to share with you some truths. And here's a key thing that I want you to understand that may just change your whole mindset on everything. As followers of Jesus Christ, listen, our highest priority is not riding double. As followers of Jesus Christ, our priority, our highest priority in life is loving and serving Jesus. Mm-hmm. Some of you single people, I'm speaking to the choir. I was single for 4 years, didn't have one date. I wanted a date, all that stuff. And I almost became consumed at times by wanting to ride double when I was single. And I needed to learn and trust that this is true. Our highest priority in life is not riding double. Just because you get married, it doesn't solve all your problems. Amen. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys. Join me here. Don't leave me hanging. Just because you get married doesn't solve everything. If you don't have a passionate love relationship with Jesus, you're going to struggle even more in marriage because you don't have the Creator working with you and for you in your marriage. You're trying to do it all on your own. And so the truth is, our highest priority in life is not riding double. Our highest priority in life is loving and serving Jesus. If you can get that right, you're going to be more fulfilled in single life and also when you get married. And you say, well, what does it mean to make him the priority or the primary focus of our life? What does that look like? Well, here's what it looks like. It means you know him personally. It means you've accepted him into your heart. You don't play religion. This thing isn't about religion. It's about a relationship. You got to know him personally. You got to serve him. You got to give him every area of your life. You got to share him with others. But here's the thing. And single people, again, all of us have been single in our lives, but I'm just talking to the single people today that are feeling what I'm talking about. The truth is this. Making Jesus the priority looks and feels different when you're single than it does when you're married. It does. And so what does it look like to make Jesus the priority of our life when we're in a season of singleness? Well, we're going to give you three biblical principles today, and we're going to be done. You ready? Single people, listen. Married people, listen. You have people that you know that are single that need to hear what you're going to hear today. You have grandchildren, you have children that need to hear what you're going to hear today. And so some of you have already written us off. You've already said, well, this ain't for me. I'm married. No, listen, God has a message for you, and he wants you to share it with that single friend who's struggling. And so listen, take notes. Take this in so that you can help your friend succeed at being single as well. Number one is this, have a battle plan. What does it look like to be single and live a successful single life? You got to have a battle plan. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 3. It says this, a prudent person what?
Foresees.
Let's say that again. A prudent person foresees danger and takes what?
Precautions.
A simpleton or a not so smart person goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Let me read that again. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You say, Bo, what does that mean? Well, you got to have a plan. If you see the danger and you don't make a plan, guess what? You're going to go down that path and experience the danger. Yeah, as a single person, again, I feel your pain. And some of the things that we battle with as single people are these, loneliness. Anybody ever dealt with loneliness? Depression, not feeling worthy of having a relationship. Sexual temptation. I mean, you have a desire and you're not able to fulfill that desire. And that desire obviously is from God. But you find yourself in sexually tempting places. Can I just tell you this? That's the devil attacking you. And you are facing a battle, and we've all faced that battle. So we must have a battle plan to defeat the devil and his temptations. And you say, okay, but what's the plan? Well, here's the plan. You ready? Write this down. Hate what God hates. Hate what God hates. And you say, Bo, I don't know about this hate thing. I mean, God, he's love. He's all about love. No, listen, God hates certain things. I want to give you an example. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. Look at it with me. It says this, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my, what? It's not underlined, but enemies. Good job. For they are my constant guide. He's talking about the word of God, the words that God has spoken to him. And he says, yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. In verse 100, it says this, I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have what? Refused to walk on the evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Some of you are thinking, well, God, I mean, he teaches us to love things. I mean, we're not supposed to hate anything. No, guess what? We're to hate what God hates. You say, well, what does he hate? Well, look at verse 104 again. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. You say, well, what is that? You know what that's called? Sin. You say, what am I supposed to hate? You're supposed to hate sin. You say, well, what kind of sin does a single person, you know, struggle with? Well, I'll give you the biggest one, at least for men. It's sexual temptation, sexual immorality, sexual immorality is rampant in the lives of, I know, men and women as well. But here's the thing. Sexual immorality, you say, well, what is that? Well, I'm talking about pornography. I'm talking about friends with benefits. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Friends with benefits, porn, lust, all those things are big temptations that can become sin if you don't have a battle plan. If you don't hate those things. And so you've got to have a plan. You say, well, why? Because here's the answer. Because God hates it. God hates sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this. God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all what? Sexual sin. You say, okay, Bo, so what's part of the battle plan? Well, you got to hate what God hates. Here's the second thing in your battle plan. If you're single, listen, you got to starve it. You got to starve it. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:18. It says this, run from sexual sin. No other sin is so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Here's the thing, and I'll speak to men on this. Heather's going to speak to the women here in a second. But you say, well, what do you mean you got to starve it? Well, here's what I mean. If you struggle with pornography, you get rid of the things that are tempting you. I mean, so many people, they go through life and they go, I struggle with looking at things on the internet. Well, guess what? Get rid of the internet. So many people, oh, I can't do that. I work on the internet. Well, here's what I did, okay? I have to work on the internet. Ready? Here's what I did. I don't know how many years ago, 6, 7 years ago, I got on a church website called XXXChurch.com. XXXChurch.com. Now, do not look that up on your own. Get your wife to look that up with you in case it takes you somewhere you don't want to see. All right? That's wisdom right there. XXXChurch.com. You know what it has on XXXChurch.com? It has a filter that you can put on your phone, and it has a accountability. I don't know what you'd call it, but it has a plan on there that you can sign up for. And guess what? If you, as a person, look at anything questionable on the internet, it emails at least 4 of your friends. Guess what my wife gets every month?
Every week, actually.
Every week. Mm-hmm. Guess what she gets? She gets an email, and what does it say?
The email, when you scroll through it, it, you know, explains that so-and-so has added you as an accountability partner or whatever. And then at the bottom, I've never seen anything else, but mine always says, no questionable sites were visited. And it's, y'all think it's funny, but it's an honor. I mean, it honors me. That shows me respect. And Bo's never had
a porn addiction.
I mean,
yeah.
He's never struggled. That's thankfully never been something that he has, you know, struggled with or whatever. But he's a man, and it could be something that Satan tries to throw at him. He's always having these arrows that he's trying to throw at you. If this doesn't work, he's going to try something different. If this one doesn't work, he's going to try something different. So that's definitely an arrow that he could throw at Bo someday. But he's already got the accountability in place in case that ever becomes
absolutely, because here's the truth. None of us are above sin. Every one of us could fail at any time. We're one click away from an addiction. And so you say, well, Bo, I got this sexual temptation. Get rid of whatever's tempting you. So get rid of it. Here's the other thing. If you have lustful thoughts or impure thoughts or you're consumed by images of naked people in your head, guess what? Those images got there because you saw something. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was in a sex scene on a movie that you love, but it has a sex scene in it. If you're single and you want to keep your mind pure, you've got to stop watching shows that glorify sin and sex in them. Are you with me?
And I want to throw in real quick, too. I mean, the fact that we talked about, you know, we value the next generation. We value our children, our teenagers. I mean, even this morning, my son came up to me and he said, Mom, can I get YouTube? And I was like, no. You know why? Because you can type in anything. And kids, you know, they're innocent, and they could accidentally type in something that could lead them to a video that shows way more than you ever want them to see in their entire life, much less at 8 years old.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've taken Safari off of the iPads, off of the iPod, and replaced it with a filtered site. So they can still, you know, my kids like to get on there and look at tutorials on how to do different braids or, you know, craft ideas or, you know, things like that, riding bulls, you know, and all that stuff. But imagine if your kid accidentally types in riding bulls and types in and something different, what that might show. So we took off Safari and added a filtered website called Mobicip, if you want to write that down, M-O-B-I-C-I-P. And we tested it out. I went on there and I typed in naked, sex, orgy. I mean, any word that you could think of, I typed that in and it just brought up a screen that blocked and said, this is not appropriate, blah, 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 you know, whatever it does. So, I mean, that's being a responsible parent.
Yep.
Just because every other kid at school has YouTube, just because every other kid at school gets to look at whatever they want to on the internet, my kids aren't going to. I mean, and we have to do the best that we can. Are, you know, is that to say, well, Heather, there's, you know, going to be a kid on a bus. It's probably going to show your kids something. Well, I've done all I can do, and I have to trust God to protect their eyes and take care of that.
Yeah, so you got to starve it. The other thing is, let's say you go to a bar every now and then, and you just want to have a drink, but every time you go, you hook up with someone. Here's the thing. Don't go to the bar. You say, well, every time I go, I find this girl, she's desperate, and she's hurt and all that, and we just end up in bed. Well, don't go to the bar. I mean, you think, well, no, no, there's other places that you can have a beer, right? I mean, go to Ramiro's, go to Chili's, go somewhere else and just enjoy it, but don't set yourself up for that temptation. Here's the other thing. If you're in a relationship right now, a dating relationship, set some boundaries. Set some boundaries. Know what you're going to not do and what situations that you're not going to get in. Heather and I, when we were dating, and again, we like to make out. We still do. But for some reason, she doesn't like the hair on my lip. But anyways, so we like to make out. So we knew that, and I knew that. Here's the other thing that I did. When I began to date her, we didn't probably kiss for how many months? How many months? Three, five?
I don't remember.
Three, I think it's longer because I wanted to kiss her. It was like a torture.
2 weeks.
But anyways, for like months, I didn't kiss her. You know why? Because I knew I'd want more. And I knew I couldn't maybe turn it off like I needed to because I would want to be physical instead of just getting to know her. And so I guess what some advice that I would give you, if you're just dating, you know, someone, you don't know if they're the one, I mean, just hold off on that. Maybe don't get physical, like kissing and all that, too early, right? But we had boundaries. We wouldn't kiss laying down. We wouldn't do it. We wouldn't kiss in the car because you can make out for a long time in the car. We wouldn't kiss. I had my own house. We wouldn't kiss in my house. You know why? Because there's nobody else there. You say, that's dumb. You should be able to handle it. No, you're dumb. I'm the one. If you have the sexual temptation like I do, then you can relate. But I'm just saying, set boundaries in relationship. Here's the last thing that I would say. If you are, you know it's God's will for you to be together, you're of age, and you know God's, you know, wants you to get married, listen, get married. Just get married. I mean, why go through the torture of, hey, we want to have our wedding in the spring and it's October, and so we're just going to wait till May, and we're just going to starve ourselves from what we want because we want to have a spring wedding. Come on now. Settle for fall flowers, okay? Settle for it so you don't get into a situation where you give that gift too early. So get married. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:9, look at it. It says, but if they can't control themselves, talking about a dating relationship or an engaged couple, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with what? Burn with lust. And so hate what God hates and then starve it. Here's the next thing.
The third part of the battle plan is outsmart the enemy. So we have to outsmart the enemy. Ephesians 4:27, it says, give no what? Opportunity to the devil. I'm going to think of every opportunity that I can think of that Satan might try to tempt me or turn me, you know, towards something that's not God's plan. And I'm going to avoid those situations. So we have to recognize those places and times that we're most vulnerable. So think, you know, man, I remember in college, like on the weekends when everyone would go home for the weekend and I was still at school or whatever, sometimes it was lonely and you just kind of, you know, you get a little, I don't know, just, you know, when your routine's kind of thrown off and people are gone and you're by yourself, that's maybe when those thoughts of loneliness kind of attack. And so we have to avoid those places and times. We, you know, we have to maybe get a little busy, serve in church, get involved in things, get involved with people that are like-minded and want to pursue God like you do, and get off your tail end and start serving. Yeah. Another thing, and I think this is important for girls, don't be around girls that are just boy crazy all the time. Some of the girls I want my daughter to avoid are those little girls that just, they just want to talk about boys all the time, right? They just want to talk about how cute he is, and I wonder if he'll notice me, and I wonder if he'll like me, I wonder if I'll get a Valentine, and they just want to constantly think about boys, 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 boys. You know, in college, that's the same thing, high school, whatever. You know, there's always those girls that they live and die for a boy's attention, right? And so I encourage you to find girls that just want to have fun. Sing it for me.
Girls just want to have fun.
The girls that just, you know, want to have a good time. They just want to get with the girls and go and just enjoy themselves.
And sing that song. Roll the windows down and sing that song.
Exactly.
Who sings that? Bananarama?
Sir.
Who? Cyndi Lauper. My bad. I don't know my 80s rock.
And Bo,
was that the 70s? I don't know.
He talked about, you know, guys tend to be more physical, or those, you know, have those physical temptations. And I think for us girls, it's more emotional. We think about, you know, just the sappy things and all that stuff. And so something I think I know I've fallen prey to, is those movies that are so unrealistic, right? And they're kind of fun to watch every now and then. But if we don't have a realistic mindset of what relationships are like, then those movies can easily suck us in and make us feel like, man, we're missing out. I wish I had a guy that would write me a note and I could find it by the ocean as I'm walking
message
along the seashore.
In a bottle.
I mean, you know,
Sleepless in Seattle.
Right.
You've got mail. Runaway Bride.
All great movies, but...
Great movies.
You have to realize that it's unrealistic, or
you're
going to set yourself up for failure.
Yeah, can I just tell you, girls, listen, those guys in those movies, they don't exist. They don't. I'll say this to guys, too. Those girls in those pornography movies, guess what? They don't exist. They don't. It's a lie. It's a lie. Keep going. Sorry.
Okay. And the last, so we have to outsmart the enemy, avoid the situations where we might be the most vulnerable. And then the last part is we have to invite accountability. This is huge. You can be sitting in your room watching whatever you want to watch, and no one's ever going to know, right? But if you invite someone into your life who loves Jesus and who, you know, has the same desires that you do and wants to pursue godliness, then if you ask that person, hey, I really struggle with, like, when I'm alone, feeling like I'm unworthy, or I really struggle with when I'm alone watching things that I know I shouldn't watch, that things that are going to fill my mind with crap and that don't honor my future spouse, would you mind checking in on me every week and just saying, hey, Heather, how's that struggle going?
Yeah.
That is huge.
It is.
And it's biblical. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how we may what?
Spur one another on
toward love and good deeds. So again, having someone that, you know, we can confess our struggles with, someone who can maybe check in on us and hold us accountability and kind of maybe sometimes get in our face and tell us the things we need to hear, even though it's not necessarily what we want to hear. So to have a successful battle plan, we have to hate what God hates, we have to starve the sin, we have to outsmart the enemy, and we have to invite accountability. And then there's two more things that we want to talk about today that will help us to make Jesus the priority of our lives. The first one was have the battle plan, like we just talked about, those four parts. That's how we can have a successful battle plan and grow in our intimacy with God. The second thing, and this is huge, is to be grateful for what you have instead of what you don't. So hear me, if you're single, we need to be grateful for what we have instead of what we don't. And this can apply to all of us. I mean, how many of you guys have ever wanted something that you didn't have? Every hand should be in the air.
Grass is greener on the other side.
Every one of us has wanted something that we didn't have.
Here's what I've learned about this. Usually we think, and she's going to get into this, the grass is greener on the other side. Here's what I've learned. Usually the grass is greener on the other side is because there's a septic leak on the other side of the fence. I'm just telling you, God's put you in your pasture, like, you know, for a reason. Stay in your pasture, because something else on the other side is probably being fed by sewage. Are you with me? Anybody with me? Anybody seen the sprinkler system on your sewage system and how the green grass grows right around it? Don't fall for that temptation. it doesn't taste good.
Exactly. And I mean, so we do. We always think, we look and we think, man, if I could just have this, or if I could just have that relationship, or if I could just find a guy like that, or if I could just do this or find that or whatever. The grass always looks greener on the other side. But you know what's also around that pasture? Barbed wire fence, typically, or a hot wire. So what happens when we try to reach over and get something that wasn't given to us? We get hurt, right? We get scarred. What happens is we get over there, we get hurt, we get scarred, and we realize this wasn't better. This wasn't any better. And so what I think we have to realize is, you know, typically cattle are in a pasture for a reason, right? Because the rancher knows what those cattle need, right? So nutritionally, you know, he might have some yearlings on wheat because he wants them to grow. So yep. He's going to put them in on wheat instead of something else. Hey, I don't know. Yep. I really don't know what I'm talking about.
Bermuda, grass.
So, you know, he wants them to grow. But what I have learned too, and I have learned this, is that, you know, if he has
a bred heifer,
he yep. probably wants them. Just go ahead.
No, that's good. Keep okay. going. I'm helping.
He may want them on grass because he doesn't want their calf to get too big. Because then what happens? First time, they get too big and they have to go help pull that calf, right? And so the rancher knows exactly what those cattle need.
Yep.
How many of you guys think that us, as God's cattle, that God knows exactly what we need, right?
Amen.
I think he's smart enough to know exactly what his herd needs better than we do. And he knows this, again, in every aspect of life. There's never been a point in my life, single, married, otherwise, that God didn't know exactly what I needed. And sometimes I think I know better than he does. And so we might, again, long for this relationship or long for something else, but God's saying, not yet. There's some things I need to work on in you. I need to grow you in this area. Or, not yet, there's some things I need to work on him about.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue later on in your marriage. So, again, we have to trust that God knows better than we do. And so we have to be grateful for that. We have to be grateful for all that God's done. In Psalm 77:11, it says, "But then I what? Recall all that you have done, O Lord. I what? Remember your wonderful deeds of long ago." If we'll do that, if we'll recall all the things that God has done in our lives, we'll begin to have a grateful heart. You know, when I look back and I think, God, thank you for two parents that loved me. Thank you for, you know, sending me to a great college where I was able to meet my husband. When I look back and I see all that God has done, then I'm not so focused on where I want to be or where I wish I was. We can get caught up in the next step. So you got married yesterday. When are you going to have kids? I mean, we get so caught up in what's next and what we long for that we kind of forget what he's done in the past. He's always been faithful. He's always provided. And so we have to remember what he's done, and this will help cultivate a grateful heart. And so, you know, some of you might be here today, and you might be thinking, you know, Heather, I don't really have anything to be grateful for. And I want you to realize that that's a lie from Satan. If you're here, if you walked into this cell barn, if you were able to sit down in a seat, if you have breath in your lungs, you have something to be grateful for.
Amen.
And so,
yeah,
exactly. And so, again, talking about those arrows that Satan throws at us, those seeds of ungratefulness or those thoughts of, man, my life stinks, those are straight from the pit of hell. And we have to do what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says. It says, we take captive every thought to make it what? Obedient to Christ. You might be saying, okay, well, what does that mean to take that thought captive? Well, when I start thinking, I'm not good enough, I'll never be a good enough mom, or I'm never going to be good enough to have a good relationship, or, man, I've slept with 10 men in my life, God's never going to give me a godly man to spend the rest of my life with. I'm worthless. I'm not worthy of a good relationship. Those are all lies from Satan. And so we have to take those thoughts captive. I think when I think of the word captive, I, you know, heard a sermon by someone else who talked about, you have to have authority to take something captive, right? So like if you're, you know, a police officer, you have the authority to arrest someone, right? I don't have the authority to arrest anyone, but as believers in Jesus Christ, through him, we have been given the authority to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So through Jesus, you have the authority to take those thoughts captive, to recognize, man, I just had this thought that I'm not worthy. That's not what Christ tells me I am.
Right.
And so we have to be in his word and know what his word says so that we can take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Okay. So that's
number two. That's good. Give it up for her. That was a good point right there.
No.
Number three.
I just think we often, you know, we get stuck in the shred of believing these lies from Satan, and it's mental. All of us, you know, one of the biggest ways Satan attacks us is through our minds. And we have to recognize that it's straight from Satan. It's not from God. So we have to fill our minds with the things that God says about us. So number three, we have to set the non-negotiables now. So after, you know, we've got our battle plan, we're grateful for what we have instead of what we don't. And then third, we have to set the non-negotiables now. And what I mean by that is we have to create a list of things that we want in a relationship that are non-negotiable. These are things that I'm not budging on. There's things that I will budge on, but then these are things that aren't up for negotiation. And these are things you need to, again, teach to your kids, teach to your grandkids, whatever. But we have to do this before we're ever in a relationship with someone, because it's so much easier to set these non-negotiables before you're in a relationship than when you're knee-deep, kind of in love or whatever, and then you back up and say, wow, this person, you know, this isn't something that I can probably live with the rest of my life. So what are some non-negotiables? Well, the first and biggest one, obviously, is that they must love Jesus. And again, if you're wanting to strive after God and do your life His way, then we have to follow His word. And it says, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be what? Yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with the darkness? So again, dating, marrying someone who is a non-believer is not up for negotiation. You must date someone who loves Jesus. Some other things I would say are attend and serve in the church. And you might think that's not a big deal, but when you're coming to church and bringing your kids by yourself every week, it kind of becomes a big deal, and you kind of wish they were here with you. But you let it slide in that dating relationship, and then now, you know, here you are, and that's just an unfortunate thing. So, you know, someone who loves the church is a non-negotiable. Someone of integrity, someone who's honest with you, someone who's trustworthy. You know, when Bo leaves, I never question where he's at, because I trust him. He's a trustworthy person. So again, and in this aspect, I would encourage you to invite accountability. You know, my friend, if I dated someone who was not good for me, they would have said, Heather, this guy, he doesn't even love the Lord. Why are you even entertaining that thought? And so again, having that accountability. So what are some negotiables, some things that are maybe kind of give or take? Well, I would say tall, dark, handsome, millionaire. You know, those things are kind of up for negotiation. And you know, something that I did when I was single, I did this when I was in college, and I got it from someone else. It wasn't like I had this idea, but I wrote out qualities that I desired in a future husband. You know, loved Jesus, served in the church, tall, dark, and handsome. I mean, I had this list, and I can tell you that God, He met and exceeded my expectations. I mean, I wanted a guy that looked like he was smiling all the time because he had a mustache.
That was
right. So. But it's true. Often, you know, and it's...
That was a lie. Straight from the pit of hell.
I wanted
a dark-headed Spanish girl. And I got a white girl that far exceeded my expectations.
That's right. Good recovery. Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. So in other words, you're making Him a priority, you're getting in His word, you're living for Him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the what? Desires of your heart. And I think that's, you know, that it applies to relationships, because when you're growing in your walk with Christ, when you're pursuing Him and making Him your priority, His desires become your desires, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, dark-headed and Spanish, it becomes pale-faced and blonde-headed. So,
and beautiful.
Your desires beautiful. Begin to align with what Christ has for you. So all of that said, our desire for you today is that you, you know, make Jesus your priority and allow Him to fulfill every desire that He has for you. You know, to be grateful for whatever season of life you're in. If you're here and you're single, embrace that. Enjoy that. You know, you have the blessing right now of being free to live life hard after Christ, to travel, to do all these amazing things that God has, you know, given you the opportunity to do right now. If you're married, enjoy that season. So just, that's our encouragement for you today.
Amen. Give it up. That's good. Let's bow our head and close our eyes, and we'll close it out for today. You may be thinking, well, Bo, why do you guys teach this? Why do you want us to know this stuff? Here's why. Because you, first of all, we want you to succeed with Christ. We want you to know him personally. This thing isn't about a church. It's not about religion. It's about knowing Christ. It's about a relationship with him, a personal relationship. And so again, if you're single, guess what? Your primary focus in life needs to be to love and serve Jesus. If you're married, guess what? Your primary focus in life needs to be to love and serve Jesus. Because if you can get that right, then everything else will fall into place. Again, it's not going to be easy. You'll have to work at it. You're going to have trials and tribulation and temptations and all those things still. But if you have Christ as your foundation, guess what? You can find victory over everything that you face. Everything. And so you got to settle it with Christ before you settle this whole marriage thing. And so some of you need to do that today. Some of you need to make Jesus the priority of your life. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so some of you here today, listen, you need to ask Jesus to come into your life. You need to give your life to Jesus today. And you say, how do I do that? Well, the verse says, confess him as your Lord. Believe in your heart that he rose from the dead and you can be saved. So maybe right there in your chair right now, you just need to bow your head. You need to just in your heart, not out loud, but in your heart, you just need to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that you died for my sins. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising from the dead so that I could have life. Thank you for saving me. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. I'm telling you, you made the best decision you'll ever make in your life. It's not a temporary decision, it's an eternal decision. And you just made it. And so now that you've confessed him as your Lord, now you get to ride double with Christ. And eventually, if it's his will, and if you're single, he's going to allow you to ride double in this world. And so you've got your foundation. Now it's time to grow in him. And you say, well, how do I grow? Well, that's why the church is here. So you need to invest in the church. You need to invest in God's church. In other words, you need to be here on Sundays so that you can learn and grow in your new relationship with Christ. You need to read the Bible so that you can fill your mind with truth rather than the lies. You need to pray and ask God to give you the strength to overcome and to be blessed. And so that's where it begins. And so we praise God for your decision today. And we're going to show you what the next step is here in just a second. Some of you are here today, and again, you've not got a battle plan, and you're failing miserably. Listen, maybe you need to make a commitment today to get a battle plan, to set those non-negotiables, to fight, to starve the sin and the temptation in your life, to hate what God hates. Again, if you need help with that, we have the resources. We can help you. And if you have questions about that, we can help you with that. And so fill out that orange card, place it in one of the yellow buckets, and we will contact you about your struggle or whatever need that you have. Maybe you're here today, and again, you're ungrateful. You're thinking all the crappy thoughts that you can, and you're not grateful for what God's already done in your life. Maybe you need to make a commitment to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop focusing on what I don't have, and I'm going to start focusing on what I do have. And I'm going to be thankful every day. I hope that you'll make those commitments today. Again, if you need help, we're here. Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and the pleasure to speak truth from your word into the lives of those that are single today. And Lord, for all of those that are here today, I pray that you would give them hope, that you would give them the desires of their heart, and that they would honor you in all that they do. And Lord, for those that are listening online, that are listening to my voice right now, I pray that you would show them your will, your good, your pleasing, and your perfect will, so that their lives can be changed for your glory. Lord, we thank you for your love, your companionship, your friendship, your fulfillment in our lives. And we give you all the glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you guys again for listening today. If you've made a commitment today or if you have any needs, feel free to contact us at info@thousandhillsranch.church or you can text or call 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.